Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah wa alayhi wa sallam. It's very interesting, actually, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab that this amana, which is sort of like this, it can be translated as two things, a trust, but also can be translated as a responsibility. You know, something that someone is trusted with is generally something that they're responsible for. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ. He said that he offered this trust that we have, which is essentially to believe in Allah, to have this relationship with Allah, to strive for Allah. He said that it was offered to the sky, the earth, and the mountains. Normally, when we look at like the sky, the earth, and the mountains, we think of things that are vast. They're extremely strong. Their expanse is like incredible. So you look at the sky and it's like this remarkable thing. What's actually even more amazing is that we didn't know how strong the sky was back in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but now we understand things like the ozone. We understand that the sky is actually a protection for us, which is what Allah also calls it in the Quran, that it protects us for example, like small rocks or meteors that are coming down. They break up as they come through the different layers. And so all of this was offered to the sky, the earth, and the mountains. Massive, strong things. Think about the earth that we walk on. Like all of humanity that's in existence, all 7 billion people, we all walk on the earth and it's able to sustain us and support us, right? Our weight and our actions. And then the mountains, of course, there's no need to explain, but they're incredibly strong, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and they all declined it. So this idea of being responsible for one's actions, this idea of having the responsibility of worshiping Allah, it was all declined by the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered it to them and they declined it. And they feared to take it. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But rather, human beings took this responsibility on. And then he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. That verily human beings, as a result sometimes of their negligence of this offering, this amana, they can become oppressive and ignorant. It's a very powerful ayah because it really weighs upon us the importance of what we have, the importance of this trust that we have. And the beautiful thing about Ramadan, or one of the many beautiful things about Ramadan, is that it gives us a small window into what it's like to succeed with this trust, to feel successful with this trust. You know, Islam can be one of two things for many of us. It can be something that is a burden. It can be something that makes us feel guilty, something that makes us despise our relationship with Allah, resent Allah. Or Islam can be something that, if done properly, and if done with that sincerity that we talked about earlier, can give us a taste of sweetness that nothing else can give us. You know, if you think about like the amount of sacrifice you had to do this Ramadan, the amount you had to stay away, the amount of fasting that you had to do, the amount of prayer you had to do. I mean, some of you are sitting here right now and you're like, it's 11:30. How am I going to wake up for work tomorrow? Right? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I know some people who are fasting day in and day out, and they literally tell me every time I see them, I have no clue how I'm able to get through my day at work. I have to focus. I have to be, you know, present. And they say, if I skip lunch outside of Ramadan, if I happen to forget my lunch outside of Ramadan, my entire day productivity is shot. But for some reason, during the month of Ramadan, I have to skip lunch. There's no option. but I'm still somehow productive. I'm still somehow focused. I'm still somehow better even than I was, right? Like Hakim Olajuwon Metlaw, bless him and protect him, right? So we have these moments where it's interesting because we're tested with this amana, this trust. And when we fail, Allah describes us as being oppressive towards ourselves and extremely ignorant. Like, why would you have taken on that responsibility if you're just going to neglect it? But when we succeed, there's this sweetness that what the Prophet ﷺ described as halawat al-iman, right? The sweetness of faith, like the different sweetnesses of faith. And he said, there's some things that can give you this sweetness that no material thing can give you. Like the example I constantly give throughout the roots discussions is like that first sip of water or that first bite of date after a long day of fasting. Have you ever had in your life anything as delicious? Have you ever enjoyed a moment of food after a day of 18 hours of being away from it for the sake of Allah? It's incredible. Or have you ever enjoyed sitting down after giving Allah an hour and a half of standing in prayer? You know, there was some, last night we were praying Tarawih at South Lake, and I don't know if you guys planned this, but the last four were like long, like really long, mashallah, right? Like one rak'ah was like 20 minutes. It was pretty long. Omar Yusuf for sure it was, because he read slow. It was nice. But when everyone went into ruku, when he said Allahu Akbar, you actually heard the audience, like the congregation, right? Like you heard it. Like you actually heard everybody. I wasn't, alhamdulillah, I was like, keep going. No, I'm just joking. I was that uncle who sat on the chair, right? That relief is something you only get after sacrificing. Like that same feeling of pleasure and relief, you don't get it if you don't stand. For the people that sit in the back and are waiting until he's finishing, until you hear that long, elongated ending of the ayah, and then they run, Allahu Akbar, just to make the wuku. They don't get that feeling of pleasure. They don't get that satisfaction, right? For the one who looks for loopholes on why they don't have to fast, not ones who have valid reasons, but the one who looks for loopholes. You know, I work 43 miles away from my home. I'm traveling, right? Right? Or like, you know, for the one who looks for loopholes, they don't get to taste that sweetness. That water doesn't taste as good to them, right? For the one who has to wake up for qiyam and drive that sakina that they're experiencing on the way to the masjid or fajr, the one who sleeps doesn't get that pleasure. So this month has taught us something very powerful, and that is that your relationship with Allah is purely dependent upon how you frame it, how you look at it. Is this amana going to be something that you and I are going to neglect? And as a result, we're the ones who are going to be called oppressive and ignorant over ourselves. Or are we going to take this amana and are we going to succeed with it? Just like this month has trained us to do. And I find it incredible, subhanAllah, that these things around us, these mountains and the earth that's holding us. Can you imagine? We take it for granted that this earth has to hold us. We think of it as a physical reality. Can you imagine, like, that's why people freak out at sinkholes. Like when there's news of a sinkhole, everyone's like, wait, the earth is not supposed to do that. The earth is supposed to stay solid because that's where we're supposed to live. It's amazing that these things are so strong. The sky and how it protects us from everything. It's amazing that all these incredibly strong structures, they declined what we accepted. They declined the responsibility of having a relationship with Allah. We accepted it. But in the same token, they don't get to experience the sweetness of faith that we do. So there's a risk reward here. We took on the risk, for sure we did. But the reward is something that the mountains, the sky, and the earth will never experience. They'll never know the meaning of what it means to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. They'll never know the sweetness of giving up food and drink for Allah. They'll never know the meaning of giving up sleep for Allah. This is what Ramadan gives us. It's a gift. It truly is. It shows us what it means to give for Allah and how that feeling can never be replicated. Go shopping on our Eid. Go to North Park. Treat yourself, right? As Aziz Ansari, may Allah protect him and guide him, says, right? Okay. Treat yourself, right? And see if you will find the same pleasure in buying what you want versus giving up what you gave up for the month of Ramadan. I promise you the pleasure won't be there. Won't be the same. It'll be there. It'll feel nice, but it won't feel as nice as this. It won't do for your heart what this does for your heart. I was standing next to Mahfuz and we were sitting here and we were like, man, listening to this Quran, praying together here with everybody at Roots, seeing everybody every week, twice a week. I was like, I feel like my blood pressure just gets lowered being in this environment. Could be for us as well, but I feel like my blood pressure just gets lowered, right? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. It does something for you that nothing else can give you. Capture these moments. Experience these moments and recommit yourself to that amana that Allah gave us. Because this amana is not only for Ramadan, it's for the other 11 months as well. Ramadan gives us the experience of what it means to fulfill it. We've done it right for 30 days, or 23 days, or 24 days. Inshallah, we will have done it right for 30 days. What about 365? We ask Allah to give us the strength. And we ask Allah to protect us from being dhuluman jahula, people who oppress ourselves and are ignorant of the imana that we've taken. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to experience the sweetness of faith with everything that we do. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to fall in love with the salah and allow us to never want to miss the prayer, just like we never want to miss other things that are sweet in our hearts. We ask Allah to make our relationship with Him the sweetest thing that we have and the thing that we look forward to the most. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from this month and to harvest from this month and to finish this month with the moment of sincerity that we're looking for so that we can carry it on for the next 11 months. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. All right, everybody. Jazakumullah khairan.